Welcome to the Light Church Podcast. This is David Oakes. I am pastor of the Light Church Fellowship in Bartlesville, Oklahoma, and I am founder of Israel Study Tours with David Oakes and David Oakes Ministries. Thanks for joining me for this latest edition of the Light Church Podcast. Remember us online at www.davidoakesministries.org. That address again, www.davidoakesministries.org. If you're in the Bartlesville, Oklahoma area, we're located at 1244 Southeast Washington Boulevard. If you're looking for a church that loves Israel and loves the nations of this earth, then we might just be a place for you. Glory to God. Just in the fall of 07, our world travels will take the ministry to Italy, Croatia, Greece, and India, plus another country which I am not at liberty to talk about. Praise be unto God. But we love the nations of the earth, we love the peoples of the earth, and we have a sincere love in our heart for the people of Israel and the nation of Israel, God's holy land. Praise be unto God. If those things interest you, then we might just interest you. Glory be unto God. And also, we love the Word of God and the move of the Holy Ghost. Now, the last time we were together, we began to listen to a sermon on the subject of hope that I ministered at the Light Church Fellowship in Bartlesville, Oklahoma. We listened to the first half of the first sermon, and in this podcast, we're going to conclude that first sermon and listen to the last half. Sit back, enjoy it, be blessed, and remember, you're listening to the Light Church Podcast, and this is Pastor David Oakes. Be blessed. We'll be back later to talk to you some more. Bye-bye for now. Now turn with me, if you would please, to Romans 5. Romans, the fifth chapter, because we need to see this for sure. Hallelujah. So hope comes via the scriptures, via those things that were written before. And we're going to go look at least one of those things that was written before we leave this place. What time is it? We've got plenty of time to do it. We could stay here literally through the afternoon and look at time after time after time of the old saints of God that have been written for us. And you can start thinking of all the great people who went before us, where they were met with a hindrance and trouble, but yet they stayed true to the Word of God and pushed through it, and God prospered them and blessed them and set them even above nations wherever they would have bowed to the first bit of hindrance. But they didn't bow to the first place of hindrance because they had a favorable and confident expectation that it was going to be just like God said. Abraham had Isaac because he believed that what God said was going to be true. And he says about him who in hope believed, glory to God, against hope. I mean, there was nothing that said there's going to be a favorable and confident ending to this, but yet he went ahead and believed in hope. Went ahead and did it. Now let's look here with me, chapter 5, if you would please. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, in verse 1. Hallelujah. Peace with God. That means our relationship with him is whole and complete. By whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations. Well, that's a concept that's new to most people. The apostle said this, and not only so, but we glory in tribulations. When there are tribulations, when there are testings, when there are trials that come, he said we glory in them. Because he knows something. When there's that stands in his way, praise the Lord, and he pushes through it, there's going to be something good happen on the other end of it. Tribulation does not mean your demise. Look at this. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulations work patience. Could we get a little air conditioning, please? And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. Now let's see what the Amplified Bible says. Notice this. Moreover, let us also be full of joy now. Let us exult and triumph in our troubles and rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that pressure and affliction and hardship produce patient and unswerving endurance. Now, there's only one way that you're going to be able to do this, rejoice in your sufferings, and that's if you know that pressure and afflictions and hardships produce patience and unswerving endurance. You're not going to be able to exult and be triumphant and be full of joy in tribulations if you think that that's the end of your life. But if you know this, if you have knowledge of something, glory to God, what is that? If you have knowledge that pressure and affliction and hardship produce patience and unswerving endurance, then you're going to be able to be joy-filled when you're facing the obstacles. James says it this way, count it all joy, brethren, when you fall into diverse temptations, testings, and trials, knowing this. You got to know something before you can count it joy. Knowing this, the trying of your faith worketh patience. So it said the same thing in both places. But you're going to have to know something. You're going to have to know. My God, you're going to have to know something. You're going to have to know something. If you're suffering trials in the area of your finances, if you know something that this is going to work endurance in you and develop in you endurance, then you're going to be able to look at it and just laugh in the face of it. Say, I don't care how you look. I'm laughing at you, and I'm going through, and my future says I'm blessed. I see something better than what I have right now. But you're not going to be able to count it all joy. You're not going to be able to have joy. You're not going to be able to triumph in this. You're not going to be able to be full of joy and exult in this if you think that's the final say. No, because we're talking about hope. Moreover, let us also be full of joy now. Let us exult and triumph in our troubles and rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that pressure and affliction and hardship produce patient and unswerving endurance, not sidestepping it, not going around it. And endurance, fortitude, develops maturity of character. Oh, brother. That's what we need in this day and time, is a big O syringe full of character. What's character? What you do when nobody else is around. What you do when nobody else is around. It's character that drives you to do what's necessary to get the gospel preached, whether anybody's standing over your shoulder or not. As I said the other night, I think it was in prayer. It's character. Nobody's standing over me. Nobody's calling me. It's character that says this project needs to get done for the body of Christ. So it's going to get done, whether there's financial payment or not, because I have no idea. I just know this, I did it because it's the thing to do. My dad wasn't saying standing over my shoulder. My wife wasn't standing over my shoulder. I was standing over my shoulder, and that's what character does. It stands over its own shoulder. Character, character, character is what causes a man or woman to be faithful. Character is what causes a person to do for the Lord, whether anybody's there or not. Character is what does it. Character. Character is what drives a person when they're in a public restroom or something and they throw their paper towel and it misses the trash can. Instead of leaving it for somebody else to pick up, character goes over and picks it up and puts it in the trash can and doesn't leave it for somebody else to do. That's character. Praise be unto God. Character when they slam their door into somebody else's door in a parking lot and puts a big dent in it and a scratch in it instead of looking around to see if anybody else saw you and gets in the car and drives off. Character writes a note and puts it underneath the windshield wiper blade with a telephone number. That's character. And character pays. Praise be unto God. Character is what causes people to give a full day's work to a man or a woman they work for without complaint. They show up on time and they leave after time. That's character. And they're not watching their clock for the 30 minutes before preparing to leave. They work for full. That's character. Character does that. Character gets us things in God. Praise God. I'm not getting too many amens. But it's the truth anyway. I remember when I was in the university, I had early classes, early music theory classes and that kind of thing. And I'd be there in the morning, sun barely up, and I'd be in the hallway in front of the door, seated in the hallway reading my textbook, day after day, all through the semester. The professor would come in, he'd unlock the door, and I'd beat the professor there. And one day he said to me, "Why are you here so early?" And I said, "Because my daddy told me never to be late." See, Dad instilled character into us. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And it's still with me today. Still with me today. I'd rather be an hour early than a second late. Oh, yeah, I've spent a lot of time waiting, but still yet, I'd rather be an hour early than a second late. Praise be unto God. Well, I don't agree with that. I don't care what you agree with. It's right. There are some things that you can believe the way you want, but there's some things that are just right and wrong. Glory be unto God. And God will honor character every time, and God will bless character every single time. Character has a payday. Notice what it says. It says character has a payday right here. And endurance, fortitude, develops maturity of character. So endurance. So you find this pressure, you find this trouble, and you go up against it, glory be unto God, and by you going up against it because you know some things, it develops character in us. And notice this, develops maturity of character, approved faith and tried integrity, and character of this sort produces something, produces the habit of joyful and confident hope of eternal salvation. What does this kind of care? What does character develop? Character develops, produces. Character produces the habit of joyful and confident hope of eternal salvation. Notice this. This kind of character, you're going up against obstacles and the pressure's on, and you're pushing through it because you know some things, glory to God, from the Word of God. You're giving praise to God all the way through the trouble, and that's going to develop something in you. It's going to develop, praise be unto God, this character, and then that character is going to produce for us hope, a confident and favorable expectation. People of character have greater hope for the future. It cannot be separated. Slothful people have an attitude that the future is going to be filled with nothingness. People of character have the view that the future is going to be filled with good. Good. We're fighting. If we're fighting sickness in our body, person of character can say, I got this expectation of future good. I expect good to happen in my future. Hope. I said hope. Notice what it says in verse 5 in the Amplified. Such hope never disappoints. Such hope never disappoints or deludes or shames us. For God's love has been poured out in our hearts through the Holy Ghost who has been given to us. I love it. Such hope never disappoints us. In other words, the favorable and confident expectation I have about the future, it'll never disappoint me. It'll happen just like I expect it to happen. It'll never disappoint me. Never. Never disappoint me. Never. Never. Never, 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 never. Never disappoint me. Let me read the whole thing to you without stopping. Through him also we have our access, entrance, introduction by faith into this grace, state of God's favor, in which we firmly and safely stand. And let us rejoice and exult in our hope of experiencing and enjoying the glory of God. Moreover, let us also be full of joy now. Let us exult and triumph in our troubles and rejoice in our sufferings, knowing there's only one way you can rejoice, knowing that pressure and affliction and hardship produce patient and unswerving endurance, and endurance, fortitude, develops maturity of character, approved faith and tried integrity, and character of this sort produces the habit of joyful and confident hope of eternal salvation. Such hope never disappoints or deludes or shames us, for God's love has been poured out in our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Such hope will never disappoint us. What we expected will occur. What we expect will occur. Now, how does this all come about? Well, remember chapter 15. We have to look at the things that were aforetime written. That's where you got to go. Those things were written for a purpose of developing hope, developing in us a favorable and confident expectation. Let's just, instead of going into the Old Testament, we'll just review at least one of the things that is written there. We can go to Genesis. You all remember Joseph, don't you? Joseph had dreams. Glory to God. And Joseph saw in symbolic form that he would be in a realm of leadership and that his family would be bowing and giving obeisance to him. They would be kneeling before him as one of his subordinates, and he would be over. And he shared his dream, his vision from God concerning the future. He shared it with his family, and his brothers didn't like it too much, because here the one that was second to the youngest was saying that they were going to be bowing to him. I mean, he didn't even have the privilege of getting the blessing of the firstborn. It wasn't even his blessing, and now he's saying they're bowing down to him. And so they devise a plan. Well, maybe we ought to go over there. Go over with me to Genesis 37, because I want you to see what the devil is about. Verse 20 in chapter 37, and then we'll go on with our telling of that which is written. Verse 20. His brothers conspiring against him. Come now, therefore, and let us slay him and cast him into some pit, and we will say some evil beast hath devoured him, and we shall see what will become of his dreams. Notice that last part after the colon. And we shall see what will become of his dreams. Every time there is pressure put against a believer, the pressure comes against the believer for one purpose and one purpose alone, and that's this purpose. We're just going to see what will become of their dreams, of their aspirations, of that which they have desired. The devil's putting pressure on you to see which way you're going to go and to see what will happen to that you believe was going to occur in your life. That's it. That's the reason the pressure comes. It's not because we're such hot shots. It's because the devil wants to destroy that which you have in your heart, your anticipation for the future and your future use by God. And we shall see what will become of his dreams. So we know what happens. They throw him into a pit. They fake his death. The marauders of that time come through and take him. They end up selling him to the house of Pharaoh. Remember the story. And there, God's hand is upon him, and God blesses him. And then the Potiphar's wife, he has that situation. How do we know that Joseph still had anticipation for future good and that what God told him was going to come to pass? Because he didn't lay with the wife of the leader of the country. Because he believed that the anointing on my life will see me through to the fulfillment of that which I have in my heart. But if I displease God, then that which I have in my heart will not come to pass. Are you listening now? And so he fled from her. What happened? The woman went and told her husband, well, he tried to force me. So the husband, irate as it was, took Joseph and threw him in the prison. In the prison, glory to God, he began to tell the interpretations to dreams. Making a long story shorter, it finally got back to the king because he needed some instruction about his dream. And here comes somebody and says, you know, I remember back in prison there was one that gave the interpretation to dreams. And he said, well, bring him to me. They brought him out. He gave the interpretation. Then he set him over all of the wealth and made him prime minister of Egypt. Now, what's that story written for? It's written for hope for you. Here was a guy that didn't let loose of God. He didn't let loose of what God had put in his heart and told him. Hell came his way on many, many planes. Resistance. Obstacle. But yet he stood true to the word. You think he was advancing and all of a sudden he was doing good things and somebody lied about him and he got thrown back in prison. Or got thrown in prison. But he just kept walking in the word. Kept walking in the word. Even in prison he was put over everything and the leaders didn't even know what they had. Only he knew. So every obstacle, he just kept believing the word. And finally, he came through the obstacles and he got what God had put in his heart. But that's written for me. That's written for me. And this is what it's written to me for, Brian. Brian, I want you to listen to this. It's written for me for this very reason. That when I face obstacles and I'm thinking about chucking the whole thing and not standing on the word, I'll go, wait a minute, Joseph. Joseph had a dream in his heart. He had a dream in his heart that God put in his heart. And man, he was doing everything in his power to be right and to do what he felt in his heart. Man, he was slapped down. He was accused, lied about, thrown in prison. Then he came out of prison. He didn't let loose of that dream that was in his heart. And he came out of prison. He became the leader over it. And the very dream that God had put in his heart came to pass. And his brothers came, and unbeknownst to them, glory to God, they made obeisance to him. They fell at his feet. And he exposed who he was, and just like God said, it happened. So that tells me that if I have a dream in my heart and all the obstacles come against me, glory to God, that if I do what he did and I stand on the word of God through hell, through everything that comes, through all of the ugly things that happen in life, if I stand on the word of God, something dynamic's going to happen. I'm going to get what I've got in my heart for my future. Now, what's that going to do to me? It's going to cause me to keep looking with a favorable and confident expectation to the future that what I see right now ain't the end of the story. Excuse me for saying ain't. That ain't very good learning, is it? Now, does not foretell my future. My future foretells my future. My future holds my future. Glory to God, and I look forward to it with a favorable and confident expectation. I see myself preaching here. I see people coming. I see miracles happening. I see us preaching in India. I see it. I see it. And so there's obstacles in the life. I don't care. I see it because God put it in my heart. And then you start writing your own stories. And that's when life really becomes fun, when you write your own stories. I was looking for notes to a sermon that I preached about 15 or 20 years ago that's been in my heart. And in light of some of the things that I've been learning as I've been doing Authority of the Believer, the sermon's taken on a new light that when I wrote the sermon, it didn't have this light on it. And I want to find those notes. And I might have to go. I haven't been able to find them. I don't know where they're at. And so I might have to just go listen to the tape again and take the notes back off of it. It's been so long ago. But in the process of going through all of my file folders, I found a piece of paper. And on that piece of paper, I took it out. And I don't know when I wrote it, but I took it out. And it has all the times when I was facing hard times in ministry, financial hard times, other needs. And then I just wrote, I said, number one, God did this. Number two, God did this. God brought in $10,000 here. God, number two, woman came in and gave 160 shares of IBM stock. Number three, somebody came in and gave a diamond wedding ring, an engagement set. Number four, and I just began to write all the things that God did. And I don't know how long ago that was. And I took that thing out and it just brought a smile to my face. Whatever I've needed, God brings in. Whatever I need. So that's when life becomes really enjoyable. When every time you need something, God brings it in. See, it's wonderful. It's wonderful that God will meet your needs personally and my needs personally, but it's also wonderful that God will meet your needs personally, my needs personally, and then the ministry's needs. It's a wonderful thing. You know, that I'm believing God for more than just us. I'm believing God for this. I'm believing God for another group of pastors and their families. Now, I'm believing God for many, many people to feed many, many people. I'm believing God for more people, not just my household. I'm believing God. And so you need some lines of success. Why don't you join with us and believe with us? Take some of your extra money and help feed families who can't feed themselves and don't have any opportunity to feed themselves. My wife and I have committed to it. We've committed our personal finances to it in a big way because we're committed to it. Praise the Lord, because I have a favorable and confident expectation from the scriptures that are written what's going to happen to me if I do this and feed the poor. Because I have other sheets that I went through yesterday where I just have typed out page after page what God does for a person who gives and supplies for the poor. If you don't have any list, you need to. Those things were written for us. So that we'd have hope about the future, that if I do this, this is what's going to happen in my future. Brian, this is really not something I just teach you on Sunday morning. I actually believe this stuff. I actually believe that it works this way. That faith and hope concerning the future comes by what's been written in the past. And you need to write it down. You're facing sickness today. You need to go see what was written. You need to go back in what was written aforetime and go through the scriptures and find. Now, for us, written aforetime was the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and go through and find all the people that Jesus healed. Find all the people that were healed under Elijah and Elisha's ministry. Find out about the home, Abimelech's home that was healed by the prophet Abraham. Find out about and read them, and God will do the same thing to you now. Are you listening to me? So these things were written so that I would learn something. So that I would learn something. That no matter how it looks now, no matter what prison I'm in now, figuratively or literally, no matter what I'm in, the future's got some good things in store for me. Hope's only going to come one way. Hope's going to come one way and one way alone. Go with me back to Romans 5. I'll let you go through the scriptures. You can think about Daniel. You can think about Daniel and the lion's den. You can think about them coming in. They stripped this young kid out of Jerusalem and took him into captivity. And he just stood on the word. They came to him and said, "You got to eat this." He goes, "No, I'm not going to eat that." Why? Because it wasn't according to the laws of God. He said, "I'm not going to eat it." And they said, "You got to eat it." And he said, "No, you let me eat." He stood on the word. He said, life's hard, but I'm going to stand on the word. He stood on the word, and he looked better than they looked after days had gone by. Then they said they were trying to make him so he'd shut up and wouldn't pray. He goes, "No, I'm not going to shut up. I'm going to keep praying." So he wanted everybody to know that he was going to stand and serve God. So he just opened up his windows and prayed so everybody could hear him outside. He stood on the word of God. Why? Because he knew his God was a deliverer. And then they came to get him because he didn't worship. And they threw him into a lion's den. But he still had this confidence about the future. I'm coming out of the lion's den. Oh, blessed be God. And then his friends, his three friends, they said, you can throw us in there. God's not going to kill us. God's not going to let us be killed. That's the paraphrase. That's the paraphrase. We're going to stand on the word of the living God. We're not going to bow to opposition. We're going to stand on the word of God. Now, the opposition most of the time doesn't come through people. It's just demon spirits. How many of you have read The Authority of the Believer by John A. McMillan? You need to read the book. You need to read the book. Have you read it, Pastor? Oh, yes. I could write the book. Glory to God. But I tell you what, there's some things in there. It's to give us a sign that there are demon spirits behind all of this. There are demon spirits that are pushing against us. We got the name of Jesus. They're just trying to make us fold, trying to cloud our view of the future. I'm going to keep my windshield clean so I can see positively into the future. Hallelujah, brother. I said hallelujah. Romans 15, did I say Romans 5? Hallelujah. That's not even right. Yeah, Romans 15 is right. Sorry. Chapter 15. Because I'm going to have to hush it here in just a second. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproached thee fell on me. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Praise be unto God. If you don't spend any time in the Bible, it's going to be very, very difficult for you to have a favorable and confident expectation about the future, because it just looks like this place is going to hell in a handbasket. I mean, you turn on the television, and people are dying here, flooded out here, burned out in Greece. Planes falling from the sky, hailstones coming to Jamaica and killing people that they've never seen in the history of Jamaica. Earthquakes happening all over the world. Man, if you don't have the Scriptures, you're going to think this place is going to hell. But the Scriptures give us a view that's totally different. That in the midst of the tribulation, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth rises up and is blessed. Blessed above all. Blessed to the point that since we're not getting shaky, the Bible tells us people look upon us, and since we're not moved in terror or fear, they have to pause and think about it. Oh, yeah. Just a few miles from where we're going in India, had two terrorist bombings yesterday. That means you shouldn't go. No, that means I should go. That's a calling card to me. Come. Come. I need you here. Praise the Lord. Obstacle is no sign that you're not where you need to be. It's a sign that you need to go through it. Get over it. Get through it. Glory be unto God. I remember we were in Jerusalem one time, and we were shopping, and my wife said, I'm going to go back to the hotel. My wife got back to the hotel, and she took a taxi back, got back to the hotel, and had to stop because somebody put a bomb outside the hotel, and they were disarming the bomb. That's a sign you should. That's a sign. Glory to God. You just need to stand on the word of the Lord, and God's going to protect you at all times. We can and should be walking in the blessing of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hope, a favorable and confident expectation.
Praise the Lord. This is Pastor David again, and this podcast concluded the first sermon of the series that I taught at the Light Church Fellowship in Bartlesville, Oklahoma, on hope. We'll see you next podcast to continue this series.